Charles Dickens writes, "I could enter no other house for that one while, for I could not bear the contemplation of the children. I saw how young they were, how hungry, how serious and still. I thought of them sick and dying in those lairs." Words of Charles Dickens, quoted in Dickens and the Children of the Empire by W. Jacobson. We're reminded that one of the best-known novels by Charles Dickens is Oliver Twist, published in serial form in Bentley's Miscellany from February 1837 to March 1839. While it is one of his more famous works and has been made into many movies and plays, including a much-celebrated musical, too little has been said and written about Dickens' grim approach to the problems of his time in this novel, according to Michael Timko in The World and I. He says one of Dickens' early novels, Oliver Twist, is often cited as an entertaining story published before his later, more serious novels. The fact is, however, that Dickens meant for Oliver Twist to be taken very seriously, a novel that addressed several important matters of his day, including child labor and especially the poor law and workhouses. One commentator wrote that while doing research for the novel, Dickens consulted a statistical magazine that included tables about juvenile delinquency. He also asked a friend if he could be smuggled into court to watch a certain city magistrate. "In my next number," Dickens wrote, "I must have a magistrate whose harshness and insolence would render him a fit subject to be shown up or exposed." Oliver Twist is born in a workhouse. An orphan, he spends the first 9 years at a baby farm. When he is 9, he is moved to the main workhouse and put to work picking oakum. One of the memorable scenes in the novel ensues when the boys draw lots and Oliver, the loser, has to ask for another portion of the foul-tasting gruel. Oliver approached the head table and makes his famous request, "Please, sir, I want some more." One aspect of the novel needs elaboration, for it is Oliver's early years that illustrate Dickens' major intention in writing this novel. His concern was, as he wrote, to show the principle of good surviving through every adverse circumstance and triumphing at last. Michael Timko repeats that phrase. Dickens' major intention in writing this novel was to show the principle of good surviving through every adverse circumstance and triumphing at last. Meanwhile, Matthew Cooper in the Washington Monthly contends Dickens' central accomplishment is that he prodded and entertained millions of readers into caring about the poor. Instead of seeing the poor, as Malthus did, as some abstract, seething mass of surplus population, Dickens saw them as individuals, engaging enough to merit novels of 700, 800, 900 pages. He made his readers see them that way, too, and to develop the determination to act on their behalf. He was the best-selling author in Victorian England, writing novels that became standard household items, as common as candles and brooms. Even the conservative economist conceded that Dickens fueled the age's passion, which prevails, to improve the condition of the working classes. Matthew Cooper writes those words about Charles Dickens in an article titled "Why We Need a New Dickens." Cooper contends there are still conditions today that need to be addressed, and children, for example, who need to be protected, and people who have a passion, using the word we just heard, to take action. As it happens, we have such people in our midst, and they are using the arts to raise awareness of the needs in our community. They are taking the classic movie Casablanca, set against a backdrop of people who are fighting the good fight. Rick will come to work for the greater good, and Laszlo will work for the freedom of others, and Ilza will commit herself to making sure Laszlo's work will be perpetuated. It's the second annual Casablanca Gala, and it's September 28th at 6 o'clock at the F.M. Kirby Center for the Performing Arts. in downtown Wilkes-Barre, itself a former movie palace where Casablanca may indeed have been originally screened. John Achukevich is executive director of CASA, and Rema Hackett is a coordinator of the Casablanca celebration. And they paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about CASA and about this special event.
The acronym stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. You know, those four words really encompass a lot of what it is that we are about. Our volunteer advocates are special, and they are court-appointed. So, by way of history, this approach to child advocacy began in 1976 with the judge in Seattle, Washington, who was in charge of leading the dependency court. Children who are dependent are those children suffering from abuse and neglect. Find themselves in front of the judge because they've been removed many times from their parents. And as a result, their permanency now becomes a concern, whether they are be able to return home or whether they're going to be adopted, whether there's going to be what's known as kinship care. So very important decisions need to be made with regard to the children. And so this judge felt that in the cases coming before him, he didn't have sufficient information regarding the best interests of these children and the circumstances surrounding their removal from their home and their needs and their services. So he envisioned the idea of identifying members of the community who would become volunteers, who would become trained and then appointed by him to have as much access to the children's information and the children themselves so that that judge could make better informed decisions regarding the permanency for these children to ensure that they would have a safe and secure home where they could thrive and have an opportunity that perhaps they otherwise would not have had. And so that was the outgrowth of the program. And very often it's said that our volunteer advocates serve as the eyes and the ears for the judge outside of the courtroom, and our advocates serve as the voice for the child in the courtroom. And it's hard to imagine or conceive that this program 40 years ago resulted now in 1,000 programs nationally, 1,000 CASA programs with about 70,000 volunteers. And so thankfully and fortunately through the foresight of Judges Tom Burke and Tina Gartley, CASA came to Luzerne County in 2012 through an initiative with the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency. And we had our first training class in 2013. So we're a relatively young organization. We're a 501c3, so we are completely dependent upon private fundraising and through the generosity of individuals, companies, and events that we have. Casablanca Gala being one of them that we're going to be talking about today. So we're very excited about the opportunity for this program to be in our county. We are one of 19 programs in Pennsylvania, serving 23 counties, and CASA came to Pennsylvania, I believe, in the mid-1990s. So CASA has a relatively long history nationally, a shorter history in the state, and a much shorter history in Luzerne County. And we are primed to grow and to develop.
Rema, what drew you? You could be spending your time with any number of organizations, and you probably do work with other organizations. What about this particular mission?
Well, this is an extremely compelling mission that is outcome-based and makes an impact, a positive impact on our area's most vulnerable children. And I am witnessing right now children who have been in the worst of the worst circumstances, who now have a fighting chance, and who now are able to start to function as if they were in a loving and a nurturing and safe environment. So it makes an impact. And when I was asked to be a part of this organization, I could not say no because of it. And I will also add, it is a very well-run organization. The advocates have tremendous support of this well-run, lean office staff, John being the executive director. And we are just so lucky because everything seems to be falling into place so well for these kids. And I also just want to say, in adding to John's point, these are really good kids in our community who just need not a handout, but a hand up, just someone to really oversee and care about their overall development, emotional, physical, spiritual, their development. and care about them as whole individuals so that they have a fighting chance.
And John, you are proud of Rayma and her colleagues.
I know Rayma is much too humble to acknowledge the award that she and Melissa Parenti and Christina Taylor received from the Chamber of Commerce early this year because of their tremendous work with our organization and as well as with Casablanca. They were recognized as Volunteers of the Year through the EPIC Award, which stands for Extraordinary People in Our Community. And clearly, Rayma and Melissa and Christina are extraordinary because, for example, last year's event, the first ever Casablanca Gala, about 300 people attended that event, and more than $100,000 was raised in one evening. And it was just simply outstanding. And so credit is well deserved.
Now, we know that CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates, right?
Yes.
But it is the first part of the word Casablanca. And is that how the theme was chosen?
You got it. Yeah. And, you know, we borrowed this idea from some other CASA organizations throughout the country. But we developed it to be unique to our area and to the population of Luzerne County.
Well, tell us what the concept is then.
Well, Casablanca is going to be a fun-filled event with casino tables, of course, awesome food catered by the Westmoreland Club, a live piano. Christine Leandri is going to graciously donate her time to playing the piano like she did last year. And this year we're going to have a couple of new things. I won't tell you everything, but I will give you an idea. One of the new things, we will be having Cuban cigar rollers from Brooklyn who will be rolling on site to make it even more fun and festive. And last year we had Annie Ellis, who is one of our advocates, spoke poignantly about the program and about her role in the program. And this year, she's going to do a follow-up, really, on what she spoke about last year in terms of how the development she's seen and the progress she's seen in advocating for her child. So we're very excited, in combination with Jennifer Rogers, who is a judge in our Luzerne County Court System, who has done just a marvelous job of supporting our efforts. She'll also be speaking as well.
And I understood that there is some actor with charisma who might have some connection with the movie who might be moving through the crowd.
I don't know about that. You give me much more credit than I deserve, Erica. I can maybe wear the same tuxedo that Mr. Bogart wore, but I can't take credit for either his voice or his charisma. It is really a fun night. Rabbi Larry Kaplan serves as our MC, but it's also a very short program. The idea is to simply have fun.
Give us a little sense of the flavor, the film flavor.
Yeah, so we have casino tables. We have Middle Eastern food. We have a piano player, of course. We have replicas of Casablanca, and it just makes for a really fun evening that people will just want to come to see their friends, to have a lot of fun, and to support a very meaningful cause.
And now, are you at the Kirby Center again?
We are, September 28th, FM Kirby Center, 6 p.m.
And it's just wonderful that you happen to be in a former movie palace to have a Casablanca event. It just seems that that's fitting and right.
We also have the movie running in the background. Well, that'll be on the screen without the sound. But for those who'd like to catch some scenes from Casablanca, it'll be showing during the evening.
Some of the aficionados would know the dialogue.
Yeah. And Larry Kaplan, our MC, does a wonderful job of just kind of reiterating the theme. So it's really neat.
And so where do we find you online?
LuzerneCasa.org. You can purchase tickets and also find out a little bit more about the organization if you're interested.
Yes, and we will be having an information session on October the 11th, which is a Wednesday. So for those folks in the community who would have an interest perhaps in learning more about becoming an advocate, we will be having an information session on Wednesday, October 11th at 6 p.m. at our office, 667 North River Street, Plains. They can register online because we'll be conducting another training class in the spring.
You had a line to remind us of.
As we end this interview, Eric, I'm reminded of the closing scene from Casablanca, which I'm sure you recall. So the only words that can come to my mouth are, Eric, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship between CASA and WVIN.
John Achakevich, Executive Director of CASA of Luzerne County, and Rayma Hackett, co-chair of the Casablanca Gala. It's the second annual celebration on September 28th at 6 o'clock, 6 to 9 p.m. at the F.M. Kirby Center for the Performing Arts in downtown Wilkes-Barre. For more information on the web, luzernecasa.org, luzernecasa.org, court-appointed special advocates, Casa of Luzerne County, and the event is the Casablanca Gala. It's September 28th at 6 o'clock at the F.M. Kirby Center for the Performing Arts in downtown Wilkes-Barre. For more information on the web, luzernecasa.org, luzernecasa.org.